Are you an architect or interior designer looking for continuing education credits? If so, look no further than the new Architecture and Design Master Continuing Education Portal. Our new education platform is designed to empower the architect and design community in advancing professional skills by offering the opportunity to earn free continuing education units, CEUs, through online articles and webinars, making it easier than ever to earn the credits you need to maintain your license to practice. There are dozens of courses available approved by the AIA and IDCEC for health, safety, and welfare credit. Search by keyword, topic, or accrediting body to find a course and learn at your own pace. Head over to arcdesignmaster.com and register today. Hello and welcome to the I Hear Design podcast, your source for interior design and architecture news, interviews, and opinions. I'm your host, Robert Nieminen, and if you've been a listener of this podcast for any length of time, you've probably heard us talk about workplace design on multiple episodes, especially in the wake of COVID-19 and the resulting havoc that was wrought on commercial office buildings as people were forced to work from home, many of whom never wanted to come back. But even prior to the global pandemic lockdowns, workplace design was seeing a significant shift for many years from the dreaded cubicle farms of decades past to open plan offices and to the hybrid model we've been hearing about so much recently. But where is workplace design now, and where is it headed in the future? I recently sat down with Beth Ann Mickelson, senior principal at Ankrum Moisson's Portland office, who co-leads the firm's office community and retail studio, to discuss this evolution of the office and what's driving workplace design today and into the future. Have a listen.
Well, hi, Beth Ann. Welcome to the podcast. It's great to have you here.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. Well, I'm super excited about our conversation today because we're going to be talking about something I think everyone can relate to that may or may not be a little cringeworthy, depending on who you ask, which is, you know, the office cubicle. But before we dive into all that, Beth Ann, could you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, who may not be familiar with you, and the work that you do at Ankrum Moisson?
Yeah, so I am a senior principal at Ankrum Moisson Architects. I co-lead the office community and retail studio, and we work on a variety of projects. We work with a lot of corporate clients, everything to small retail shops, pizza joints. we run the gamut. So
cool. Yeah, very, very cool. All right. Well, thanks. Yeah. And as I just kind of referenced there in my prelude, we are going to be talking about the office cubicle, which has become something of a maybe four-letter word in the decades, you know, since it was introduced in the 60s by Herman Miller. You know, we hear about I think everybody's familiar with the Office Space movie, the Dilbert comic strip, you know. And then we saw this shift, you know, the pendulum swung pretty far in the opposite direction where everything was open plan. And that also kind of became a symbol of everything that's wrong with the workplace, right? With, you know, lack of privacy and individuality and just, you know, super noisy. And now we're sort of seeing another shift towards maybe more privacy. Maybe the cubicle is making a comeback, if I could dare say that. So from your perspective, Beth Ann, what is happening in the realm of workplace design today? Like, why are we seeing these shifts from closed back to open, back to closed again? I mean, what's really kind of going on behind the scenes?
Yeah. So I think we're changing. Our work habits are constantly changing. And I think the pandemic really kind of swung us in a direction quickly. So you know, there's always been the private office, and, you know, we did see the surge of open workstations. So we had the workstations that were, you know, 7 feet tall, 8 feet tall, all the way down to like 4 feet tall. So we've seen that kind of shift up and then down, and everybody has proved that they can work from home, right? Because they have that kind of focus time. And so I think as we are trying to get people to come into the office more, people are indicating that they can't, there's a lack of focus there. And so I think it's really not necessarily a surge of back to private offices, but I think it's a need for flexibility and different types of spaces. And so I think what we are hearing is that employers are responding to employee feedback, you know, where we are hearing that it is loud in the office, people can't focus, they need sort of that more quiet space. And we're seeing the response to that. And I think that we're hearing that more and more after the pandemic, because people, when they were working from home, were able to really control their environment. And when you come into the office, it's obviously less control. So I would say that it's not necessarily we're building a lot of private offices. I think we're seeing more different types of spaces rather than private offices.
Sure. What about cubicle type spaces? I mean, we kind of referenced that earlier on. I mean, obviously people had a little bit higher walls and you talked about those coming down. Are the, you know, desk spaces, are there, you know, the walls going back up? Or, I mean, again, I mean, to your point, there is variety, but are we seeing more like products, you know, systems that are sort of accommodating whatever the cubicle had accomplished in the past, maybe?
I think we are still seeing low cubicles, but I think we're seeing more private spaces that people can leave the cubicle to go to a private space.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're not just stuck in that one little contained box, right?
Right. Right.
Yeah.
There's a lot of choice and autonomy. People are being able to choose kind of the spaces they want to work in.
For sure. Yeah. And I know I've seen an influx of the privacy pods, right? The standalone, like almost phone booth, you know, phone booth looking spaces too. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So what would you say employees really are looking for in the workplace today?
Yeah. So I think kind of going back to the sort of the hybrid work, we are seeing that, you know, a lot of companies right after the pandemic didn't necessarily have a plan in place, or they were allowing their employees to do what they wanted to do for a couple of years, really. Mm-hmm. But we have seen it more now at the beginning of 2024 that employers have created a lot of guidelines around what the policy is. Mm-hmm. And I think what we're seeing a lot is anywhere from 2 to 4 days back into the office. And I think what's really important is it shouldn't really be a mandated day. You have to be in the office on Tuesdays and you have to be in the office on Wednesdays. While I understand that that is important to kind of set those boundaries, I think it's also really important to keep open, like, what is the work that people are doing in the office, and does it make sense to be in the office on those days?
Right.
And so we are seeing the mandates. It's why do we come into the office? And it really, it's for that social connection. We have seen that culturally, a lot of companies really suffered after the pandemic, and keep maintaining that cultural engagement is really important, I think, for the company and also just to be productive, right? Companies who don't have a good culture are not as productive as other companies. So think it's that's kind of the pending question, is how do you keep your employees engaged and excited about coming into the office? And so I think what we're seeing is, you know, I think back to early on, like providing free lunch or providing free coffee, like that got a lot of people into the office. But I think it's definitely more about creating those social interactions. So I think it's mentorship opportunities. We're seeing, you know, volunteer opportunities where groups can go together to volunteer with certain organizations. Having a place, a video game room or a ping pong table, or, I mean, I think it's a variety of things like that, that create kind of social connections and personal connections in the office.
For sure. Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned the hybrid office. I meant to ask you about that. And, you know, that because we were hearing so much about it. And it does sound like there is this shift towards just engagement, you know, culture and flexibility. And to your point, you know, the amenities that you mentioned, one of the ones I've been hearing a lot more about recently, and maybe you can comment on this a little bit, is just, you know, amenities around health and wellness, yoga. And is that something that your clients are asking more for as well?
Absolutely. And I think we work with a variety of building owners in downtown Portland. And We are seeing a lot of really successful buildings that have high occupancies. They have almost a concierge service, essentially, where they are providing these amenities for the tenants in the building. So it's like weekly yoga, you know, wine tasting, flower arranging. We're seeing high occupancy in buildings who are focused on those sort of tenant amenities and activities. Some days they bring food trucks to the building where people can go and get their lunch. So it's almost kind of a lifestyle engagement. I think typically in the past, we would see the tenants really flocking, trying to get into buildings that have really top amenities. And right now it's kind of a shift where we're seeing that the building owners have to provide that and some in order to get people, you know, to stay in those buildings. So sure. it's really a unique situation right now.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. And kind of playing off the conversation around, you know, health and wellness, which is so big. You know, I've been hearing with a lot more frequency the need for workplaces to accommodate neurodiverse populations. So how can architects and designers balance the needs of so many different types of occupants to ensure their comfort and productivity when they just have so much, such different needs?
Absolutely. I was thinking about this question, which comes up a lot, about how do we design for neurodiversity? And, you know, when you're in school, there's something called a 504 plan, right? So people who need special accommodation, they have this plan where they can have quiet places to take a test, et cetera, et cetera. And so I'm kind of relating that back to the workplace. And so, yes, designing for neurodiversity, but also I think it's just good design to design inclusive for everyone.
Yes.
Because it doesn't stop when you get out of high school or college, you know? And so how we do that and how we help our clients to design for neurodiversity is creating low stimulization environments for hyperfocus, creating social spaces, stimulation breaks, creating quiet rooms for intense concentration, creating low traffic areas to alleviate social anxiety, collaboration hubs to support extroverts, and then creating different zones with different lighting. So there's a list of things I would say that I think is just good design that creates inclusive environments for all. So people don't feel like they're singled out when they go to these areas. It's just a way of working. And I think we're giving people a variety of opportunities or places to do their best work.
For sure. Yeah. And I was going to ask you about some of the practical solutions and sort of design and interventions that your firm has used. And it sounds like there's just a variety, giving people a variety of spaces, and choice is what, like, the kind of word that's coming to my mind as I'm hearing that, is because that way, if you do find yourself more on the spectrum and need quieter place to work and do your best work, right, that you have that available to you. Is that right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it's all about choice. And quite honestly, for me personally, every day I'm doing something different. And so, you know, if I'm heads down and really reading a deep contract that's like 50 pages, I might go find that quiet room where I'm not going to be bothered, so I can really focus on that. And so I think creating spaces that allow your employees to do their best work is what we're all about. Again, that harkens back to that flexibility, giving people choice and flexibility.
Yeah, absolutely. So where do you see things maybe headed in workplace design in the next few years? I mean, especially in light of stranded assets with Class A office space. I mean, you mentioned there were some buildings that were really high occupancy, but we're also seeing some vacancies. Do you anticipate maybe like a merging of different markets or a blurring of the lines, like workplace and hospitality, where, you know, there's hotels and an office type space where people can kind of do it all?
Absolutely. So I think for us in the office market sector, we are seeing a huge blend of hospitality and workplace. Gone are the days of really square furniture, big, you know, super graphics on the wall. I think we're really looking at that sort of soft curves, we're looking at more neutral colors in our color palettes, you know, because people have been used to working at home. And right. so coming to the office should kind of feel like home. Mm-hmm. But with obviously better technology, creating those personal connections, we are definitely seeing a trend towards wellness. And so creating spaces where people can take meditation breaks, anything that somebody would need to have a space where they can go away from their workspace and have mm-hmm. kind of some quiet time. So it's not uncommon for us to provide, it used to be one wellness room in the office because there might be a nursing mother or something like that. But we are really seeing like maybe now people are doing 3 to 4 spaces where there could be a TV. So if somebody wanted to do some yoga or stretching or something like that, that they have the opportunity to do that. And that's not what's keeping them from coming into the office.
Right. So in a way, it's making it feel like home, but then also getting experiences and amenities that they can't get at home, which is right. Like it kind of sounds like it feeds into itself a little bit, right?
You want to get,
yeah, you want to bring them into the office. You want them to stay there.
Yeah. You know, and also we are seeing an uptick in amenities, right? So we're having these discussions with owners about bringing in golf simulators, pickleball courts. The idea is that you bring somebody to the building, the office building, and that everything is there, that they don't need to leave, right? So there is a food option, there's a coffee option, so that they can be efficient and not have to go somewhere else to do that. So
yeah,
that's why we're seeing these upticks in like really great amenities for gyms, you know, yoga rooms, outdoor spaces.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It's almost like, you know, you're designing for that third space within the building so that they don't have to either go very far. Right. I mean, because I was I was hearing a lot about that, you know, at one point where people wanted to get out of the office to go sit at the coffee shop. But if it's all in the building now, then it's right there. Right.
Right.
For the convenience. Yeah. 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 Very cool.
Yeah. And well, and then you run into your coworkers and you're like, hey, let's grab a cup of coffee or, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's go down
and- yeah, exactly. Well, and I can say, you know, as somebody that works from home 100% of the time, it is challenging when you don't have those opportunities for collaboration other than, you know, on screen or those in-person events that you go to, but they're so infrequent. So it's interesting to see that those shifts are happening in workplace design to really make it as, again, you know, your point about flexibility for people and all those great amenities. But
yeah,
Bethann, would you say, or what would you say are some of the other topics, you know, related to this conversation or the work that Anker Moisen has been doing that you want to highlight that we haven't talked about yet?
Yeah, I mean, I think tech integration is a really top of mind topic right now and how we do that with our clients. You know, one of the main reasons why I do see people come to the office is because they have a client call, or today I came into the office because I'm doing this podcast with you and I have better technology here in the office. So I really think, you know, looking at the ways that we can integrate that is incredibly important. The use of spatial computing, MetaQuest, or, you know, the goggles, I think what's really interesting is how AI will affect our industry at some point. And I think in the future, we won't even need our computers and we will be using those goggles. And if that's the case, do we actually need a desk? You know, will we be sitting at a desk? Will we be tied to our desk? Or will somebody invent, you know, this really amazing chair that you can lay back and just do your work? Like, right. I still think we will, you know, need that human connection, but I think our office will look differently. So I think, you know, there's also data collecting. So we are seeing a lot of our clients tracking the badge in, badge out, the number of people using the office. I think there's kind of a real paralyzation with employers on trying to figure out how much space they actually need.
Right.
And so how many people are coming into the office and who needs a desk and who doesn't need a desk. And so I think a lot of them are using technology to help figure out the data and the analytics to that. And so I think, you know, as we get further and further, I think we'll see a lot of people, it will be more integrated with being tracked around the office. If we're doing it fully hoteling throughout the office, there are some tech companies who are, if you need to know where Susie is sitting, then you can go to this screen and you can see exactly where she's at. So I think there's some interesting technology that will be coming out in the new future. But what I would say is it's important to be flexible. I think that's just one thing that, and for employers not to be afraid to try new things, and it's okay if it fails, right? Like, right. I think we're afraid to try something that won't work. So I think it's okay to really be open to new things.
Yeah, and it is, to your point, so interesting with the tracking, the data, with smart buildings technology, and just how that'll definitely help with space planning and occupancy, but also, we didn't really touch on sustainability necessarily, but, you know, just how is the building being used and how do we make it more efficient and how do we make it more flexible? So it's almost like that connection, like between the technology and the human elements, right? Like, how do all these things come together? And it sounds like that's, sounds like where things are kind of going. Is that right?
Right. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Yes. Sustainability is huge. I feel like that's a whole nother podcast.
We've done multiple series on sustainability, everything from, you know, EC3 calculators, you name it. So anyway, we'll save that for another conversation. So last question for you, Bethan, where can our listeners go to learn more about your firm's work or about, you know, more about our conversation today?
Yeah. So IngramMoisson.com is our website, and we have an amazing blog section that we have different topics that we've discussed, and you can find more information at that location.
Great. Well, it's been such a pleasure having you on and chatting with you, Bethan. Thanks again for being here so much. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, for our listeners out there, would you do us a favor and subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already, and giving us a rating really does help us get more visibility. It makes it easier for people who are interested in hearing more about the design industry find us. So thank you for tuning in. And as always, be well, everyone.